Gospel of John, John chapter 4. Gospel of John. We've enjoyed several weeks out of John chapter 3, and the study just continues to get stronger. John chapter 4, and we're going to read down through verse 13, and so please follow along with me. John chapter 4, beginning to read with verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judah and departed again into Galilee. He must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. We're going to end there and begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can come together as a family. I just thank you, Father, that you bring these folks in. They come today to hear your word, to fellowship together with other believers, to be strengthened by you today. And it's just a time of restoring and just getting us filled back with your power and your strength to go back out into this world. And please, Lord, just bring them back tonight, bring them back Wednesday night, bring them back Tuesday afternoon, that we may come and hear your word and fellowship over your word and enjoy it together. And by your power and presence and by the great fellowship and family that you've given us here, we will be strengthened enough to go out and face what's in this old wicked world and witness and testify for you as we should. This woman doesn't know Jesus. This woman of Samaria. Many folks around us don't know you either, Lord Jesus. So please, that we go sharing the word as you so lead us and direct us. Please, have us to listen today. Those that are here that do not know you as their Savior, that they'll come today. And those that do, please just rejoice over the word and be strengthened. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We continue somewhat with the trouble between the Jews, the unbelievers, and the disciples of John the Baptist. And now we find that the Lord Jesus is coming on the scene, and it troubles them all the more, and there's much discussion that's going on. And it says here in verse 1, When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, and then it goes on in verse 2 to say, even though Jesus didn't baptize, his disciples baptized on his behalf. But it was causing much confusion, much conversation going on in the cities and around. And the folks that it disturbed the most was the religious leaders. And you know, when the truth goes out, you're going to find that the religious leaders should be the ones that come and support and help and build and everything else. Instead of that, why, we find that they are just the opposite. They are standing against the scribes, the Pharisees, the chief priests. They are greatly disturbed with what John the Baptist was doing. It was out of their realm. It was away from the law. They were out of control. They were losing control of their people. People were flocking by the hundreds and thousands to hear John, and now Jesus is here, and it's worse. It's worse. We're losing our congregation. We're losing that money. We're going to have to do something here to take care of it. And you can't work with these religious leaders. And we need to be careful. A lot of times when an evangelist comes to town, why, they gather all the churches up and they have them do all the legwork to set everything up, and then a big preacher comes in and preaches the word. And that's always bothered me when you do that, because we're not to be unequally yoked. And most churches do not preach the gospel. And so if the gospel isn't preached, why do we want to unite with them and give the gospel when they don't want it in their own churches? And so many times, why, you'll see a person that is a false teacher and a well-known preacher coming together for that purpose, and God will not empower that. God will not strengthen that. He'll not send out His word in truth in that means. We go out as believers in Jesus Christ and preach the gospel, and we're to stand. These religious rulers here, they did not want to help and build the kingdom of God. They wanted to destroy it. And yet it was all still in the name of the church. And so we find that here. John made it very clear that he declared the one that was coming, that's the great one, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, much greater than himself. With all the conversation that's going on in the area, why, Jesus chooses to leave. He chooses to leave the area. He doesn't stand and say, now you people need to listen to the truth here. Jesus is different than we are. He knows the heart. You know, when it bothers a lot of people, when they were told by Moses through the leadership of God to go up and take the land of Canaan, Joshua was given the same direction. Go in, kill them all. Kill them all. Now, how do you evangelize an area if you're going to go in and kill all the people in the land of Canaan? The Hivites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, all the Ites were to die. What kind of a God is that? What kind of a God is that that would make such a command? God knew the hearts of every one of those individuals in that land. He knew they were not going to get saved, and He knew if God left them there, they would pervert and destroy the truth. They didn't kill them all, and it did. It did. So you see, when God demands and commands something, we need to listen. And even though it seems contrary, and so here for Him to leave, why not stay and preach and win these leaders over? No, He knew their heart. It's time to go. In Luke this morning in Sunday school class is the verse of Scripture that fifth verse of chapter 9, to dust your feet off and go on. And that testimony against that town will stand at the judgment seat. And that's what's going to take place. And so Jesus does this very thing here when he leaves. The Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus had made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but the disciples. He departed. He left. And so we look at verse 3. He left Judah and departed to Galilee. Left Judah. That word left is more than just to walk out. That word left is to let it go, to let it to itself. Let it to itself. And that many times is what we're to do with people and with religious groups that deny the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to try to win them individually, but as far as a group is concerned, we're to let them to themselves. In other words, they have destroyed themselves. Let them continue in the same fashion, because they're not going to listen to the truth. They're not going to listen to the truth. Jesus was to that place here with those in Jerusalem and Judah. They weren't listening to his words. He knew they weren't going to listen, and so he left. He went to a land of Galilee. And so he left this area, and I've got a couple of verses of scripture that's very good to. We're going to look one of them up, but listen very carefully. Proverbs 29:1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. That was Proverbs 29:1. Then Isaiah 55:6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. He's leaving. He was there. He's leaving. You can't just get saved whenever you want to. You get saved when the Holy Spirit calls you and you respond. You can't say, I'm going to wait I'm not ready to get saved yet. I'll get saved next year. I'll get saved next month. I'll get saved. I'll do it later. You don't have that right. You may get saved later. The door may still be open that you can get saved next year, next month, or 10 years from now. But God says today is the day of salvation. And so to me, there's one day of salvation, and that's today. And if you reject that, nobody is given tomorrow, period, whether you're going to be alive or not. But even if you are alive, will you have the opportunity of trusting in Jesus? I don't know. I don't know. But it's very clear, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. So while he's here, you best call. Call upon him while he's near. And let's turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Now, you ladies in ladies' Bible study, I'm sure can just quote this. You probably don't even have to look it up. But Proverbs chapter 1, because I know that you've really been enjoying the study in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to begin with verse 24 and read to verse 31. Proverbs 1, 24. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regardeth. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despise all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own ways and be filled with their own devices. That makes it clear. That makes it very clear. And that is Proverbs 1, 24 through 31. If you think you have a choice of when you're going to get saved, you're mistaken. Because there is a time God calls everyone, every person that's ever lived, have had an opportunity of this calling, this invitation. But if you reject it, then only the Lord knows how long that door is going to be open. But we have to say, if he has left, you're finished. You're finished. Now, we have a God of love, but he is also a just God. He gives everyone an opportunity. Please don't miss it. Please don't miss it. These folks missed it. He's leaving. He's going to Galilee. Must needs go through Samaria, the scripture says. Must needs go through Samaria. Now, on that third verse, and if you make notes, and on my notes here, I have written he left and went. And then above left, I have put Judah. And below left, I've put the Jews. And he went above, I've got Galilee, and below I've got the Gentiles. Because he's left Judah, left the Jews, left his own that would not listen, would not respond to it. And he has went out to what the Jews call the pigs, the dogs. Out to those that are the Gentiles. Jesus goes to where they're going to listen. And he has needs to go a certain way. And so he left Judah and the Jews. He went to Galilee and the Gentiles. And now we find again verse 4, he must needs go through Samaria. Must needs go through Samaria. That wasn't the regular route. That was the closest route. That was the closest route. But you see, that's not the route that the Jews took. The Jews took a longer way around. They not only didn't like, they hated, despised in every way. You know, a good Jew, whether it was really, you know, you get that term, good Christian, good Jew, one that really followed the law. You know what they prayed every morning? The God you see that my eyes and my path doesn't run into a Samaritan. That was their prayer. They hated the Samaritan so much that I don't want to even see one today. That's how much that they hated the Samaritans. They just despised them and hated them. Had no dealings with them. We got a lesson here coming very quickly. And that lesson is God's saving grace, whosoever will. Jesus was a Jew. But he had needs. I have needs. Must needs go through Samaria. Must needs. Why? You know the story. We're going to run into a woman at the well, aren't we? We're going to run into this lady. He didn't go the shortcut because he was lazy. You know, we might do that. I'm not going to walk around. I'll just look to the ground and run. You know, that way I won't see a Samaritan, but I can get through and get to the other side, and it'll be a quicker way. It won't take me so long to get around. And that wasn't the reason. He had something to give, and that's the living water. We have something to give. It's our duty to carry out the living water to those that are thirsty. He comes to the place. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, this city of Samaria, this town named Sychar, was also the name of Shechem. Now, Shechem may make more sense if you're a study of Bible history. The town named Shechem, that happens to be the place where Joseph's brothers threw him into the well and left him for dead. That happens to be one of the cities of refuge that was set before given to Moses, because there were cities of refuge that if you were charged of a crime, you could run to that city of refuge and you would have proper justice. And if it was an accident and yet the family wanted to destroy you, to stone you to death or something, why, you could run to that city of refuge and stay there and be safe. And so you would, that was one of the cities of refuge in the land of Canaan. And then Shechem was also the city where Joshua spoke for the last time to all the tribes before he died. And so we have that. It's where Joseph's bones were buried, in Shechem. And so it's quite a place of history. as we look at this this city of Shechem or Sychar. And so please take your Bibles this afternoon and look to see where Galilee is and where Judah is and Jerusalem, and then find Shechem or Sychar, and then think of all the things, because there was many other things that took place in this town. And we have in verse 6 now, "Now Jacob's well was there." This is somewhat of a strange statement, because we know Abraham, he dug wells. Isaac dug wells. There's no reference anywhere in the scripture that Jacob dug wells. But you'd think if Grandpa did and Dad did, surely Junior did. And so he would have dug some wells. But somewhere along the line, at this location, this well was named Jacob's Well. A very popular place, common. It was a good well, and so many came to gather water there. We're spoiled. Yeah. Where do you get your water? You go turn to Hy-V. Yeah. That's the worst scenario, that we have to, you know, go somewhere and get a little water. Most of the time, we can just turn our faucet on and take care of that. Years ago, when they first started selling bottled water, a man said, "Who ever dreamed that we would pay more for water than we do for gas?" You think about that, and so. Got a little bottle of water you spend a dollar for, and you'd have to pour a lot of those in to make a gallon. That's our society today. Wasn't so in these days. Water was very scarce, and you had a well, and it was very deep, and you would come. The ladies would come in the morning early and in the evening late and draw water. That was one of their responsibilities, is to come and draw water. And so we have this well, and we have a statement by the Lord Jesus here. Now Jacob's well was there. "Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well." So here was this well. You can kind of picture the old well there, and maybe the rocks that were around the edge of the well to keep the livestock out of it from falling in. Jesus come over and sat down there. He was wearied. Now here is the Son of God. The Son of God is perfect. The Son of God is sinless. But he took on the body of a man. And so when we think we're tired, Jesus knows our weariness. He's been there. He's been there. Do you know there's only one reference to the Lord Jesus in all of his travels, in the 33 years of his life, especially the last 3 years of his ministry? Do you know that there was only one time that he ever rode anything? He always walked. And that was the donkey coming into Jerusalem. The end of his life. That's the only time. All the time. He walked wherever he went. King of kings, Lord of lords. He should have had the greatest chariot and the most beautiful team of horses to take him from place to place, from castle to castle. Instead of that, he didn't have a place to lay his head. Never had a house. Walked every place he went. The Son of God. He was tired. He was weary. And he sat by Jacob's well. Was thirsty. The very Son of God. Made the worlds. Owned the cattle on 1,000 hills. And yet took on the body of a man, flesh, and walked on this earth. Sat on the edge of the well. Scripture says it was a sixth hour. Now, there's some question about what time that is. Some believe it was 6 o'clock in the evening, but most believe it was 12 o'clock. Think it was high noon It was right at noon. In the morning and the evening, at 6 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock at night, had been a very busy place because everybody's coming to draw water. There was no one there. There was no one there. When Jesus sat down on the edge of that wall, there was no one there. And then here comes this lady from Samaria to draw water. And isn't it something? Because nobody ever does it in the middle of the day. It's too hot. Nobody does this in the middle of the day. And yet Jesus knew this woman was going to be there. And so he finds and is there. No travelers on the road. No women drawing water. Yet we find here in this scripture verse that there was a traveler, and there was someone coming to draw water. We look at this woman of Samaria. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me to drink. But before we get there, we need to take a little bit of look here, because I don't want you to miss this. Who's the last person that Jesus talked to? One-on-one, Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a self-righteous man, a religious ruler, a very educated man, a very right man when it comes to the world looking at him. And now we have just the opposite. We have a woman of the world, a woman with no, a woman of the street, they would be called, no morals, very carnal mind. But Nicodemus and the woman of Samaria have something in common. Two complete different worlds. Nicodemus, full-blood Jew. Woman of Samaria, mixed. That was part of the problem. They have something in common. And it may be something that's in common with you. They were both lost. There wasn't one needed a Savior more than another. Nicodemus, being very wealthy, very well-to-do, very religious, needed Jesus. Woman from Samaria, just the opposite, very, very worldly woman, needed Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus. When Jesus saw this woman coming and asked the question or said the statement, give me to drink, Jesus knew everything about this woman. He knew who she was, knew what she was, knew everything about her. Yet, if you'll notice, he did not condemn her. He did not condemn her. That's what man is good for today, is pointing the finger. Jesus didn't condemn this woman. He knew what she needed. She needed him. She needed a Savior. He asked a question, a very simple request, give me to drink. Once again, Jesus created the earth. Jesus created the world. Jesus created the universe. Jesus created every fountain that was above the ground and below the ground. And yet Jesus asked here for a drink of water. This place here was a very common place where especially the women of the community would come and meet, visit. It was one of the kind of a social place, you might say. But that was in the morning and in the evening, not at noon. At this time, there's just two, Jesus and the woman. Where's the disciples? Where did disciples go? We find, according to verse 8, that his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Do you realize in the Word of God that there is never recorded a place where Jesus for himself, he was physically, he needed water and food. He feeds 5,000. And yet, never for himself. We need to see the Savior, the servant that the Lord Jesus, how he is showing us, portraying to us who he is. He did not use his power ever for himself. You have power, you have strength, you have authority. What do you do with it? Me. I'm going to do this. I've got the power to do that. That's the problems that we have in Washington today. They have taken a power that is not given to them, but they have taken it. Jesus had the power, and he did not use it, even for himself. Even for himself. The disciples, they when they come to the place of feeding the 5,000, why, remember what the disciples said? We better send these folks home. There ain't nothing to eat out here. There's no McDonald's, no restaurant, there's no place to eat. We better send them home. Is it wise to make suggestions to the Lord? They went in to buy meat because, you see, Jesus never abused his power. He never took for himself, ever. And so he sent them in to buy, just like you and I would go to the store to buy meat and to go get food. It was the same way. Now we come to verse 9, and he said to the woman of Samaria, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which is a woman of Samaria? The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Have no dealings. Jews never speak to Samaritans. Don't speak to them. Don't look at them. Again, they pray first thing in the morning that I never have to face one of them. I don't want to see a Samaritan. That's a hatred for a people. A little history of the Samaritans. It really originated with Jeroboam, and that's a wonderful study when we sad study, but a good study when we saw the kingdoms divide. And we find that we have the two southern tribes, and then we have the 10 northern tribes. And when this divided, it was under it was immediately following Solomon's reign. When Solomon died, there became a battle of power, and it divided. And there was 10 kingdoms north, 2 south, and Israel kept the name of the northern kingdoms, and Judah was the 2 southern kingdoms. Jeroboam took over leadership of the northern kingdoms. And when he did that, he needed a capital, because no longer would he accept Jerusalem as their capital. And so Samaria became the capital. So Samaria was the capital of the 10 northern tribes. Wasn't to be at all. Jerusalem was always to be their capital. Jerusalem was always to be their home of worship. But Jeroboam did something else. He also set up 2 places of worship. They were to never worship in any place but in Jerusalem. And he said, that's too far to drive. No one can expect you to go that far. So he set up 2 places of worship, one up in Dan and one down in Bethel. Now those two locations were wrong to start with. But he complicated or confounded the problem by making 2 golden calves and said, now you stand before this golden calf and you can worship God. Worship the true God, but do it here. And God says, you worship me in Jerusalem only. And so, you see, Jeroboam started this. He started Samaria and the power of it. There was a temple in Samaria. There was also the headquarters of the 10 tribes were there. And then the Assyrians came. And the Assyrians and Syria, and they come and they took these tribes away. And then later on, why, then also Judah fell away. And so Nebuchadnezzar came, took from Babylon and took them away. They all end up over in captivity over in Babylon. In the process of all this, when they come back to Samaria, they become a mixture. The city was destroyed. You read the history of it. The city was destroyed over and over again. And these people became very pagan. and very idol worshippers. And so, and that happened during the reign when Jeroboam and the other kings before captivity came. And when it returned, they kind of returned back into that same mode. And so here this woman, and by bringing people in from every nationality of the world, they all intermarried. And that was definitely a no when it came to a Jew. And so here we have a mixture of nationalities. And so they hated him. They hated him for their idol worship. They hated him for where they wanted to worship. They hated everything about Samaria a Jew hated. But these people were not all pagan. We're going to find that this woman was looking for the Messiah. It wasn't foreign to her. Jesus did not answer her question. He knew her heart. And he said, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." We're going to end right there. And we're going to start with that 10th verse, because she's going to come back with an answer, just like Nicodemus did. How can I go back into my mother's womb again? How can I draw water from this well if I got no bucket? And that's just what, we immediately people go to the earthly side of it. And so we're going to start with verse 10 and begin there next week. Sweet Spirit, please listen to the Word of God. Jesus is coming to bring Himself salvation to this woman. And if you know the story, it takes place. It's a glorious story. Don't miss it. Don't miss it next week.